It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome to the show, and we begin where we kind of ended last show. Lance searching for something. He's walking around trying to find his phone. The desperation when you're trying to find something you know you should have on you is pretty interesting to be involved in when it's not your anxiety. Watching him struggle, looking in drawers where he never put his phone. We all do it. Like, you would never put your phone there, but you're going to look because you can't find it. You can't find it. So would you have ever put your phone in a file cabinet you've never used before? Let's see. Let's see if you lost your mind from 7 to 10. And that's what he's doing right now, scrambling to look for his phone. Lance Zierlein, the preeminent draft expert. So we swap out, no longer talking about Lance, thankfully. We swap out a Coug or a horn for a Coug. Sean's not here. He's going to be involved from 12 to 6 producing those shows as those guys are out and about. And who's in a spot? Michael Carroll. It's a good time to swap out a horn for a Coug because they're out of the tournament. And as you heard from Jeremy Branham, the Cougs are prime for a big run. Welcome, Michael.
Oh, thank you, Del. I appreciate you having me here today.
I had nothing to do with it.
I'm
glad you're here, but I had nothing to do with it. No one asked me, hey, who would you like?
I was trying to pump you up. I was just saying.
I got no control over what happens other than show up from about 6:45 to 12:30, and that's your day.
Okay.
So that's how it rolls. But that's Michael Carroll. You hear him as the voice of the show. He's also the host of Comicast. You'll hear him. Well, normally you'd hear him at 11:30 on Friday talking about what you should or shouldn't watch. Instead, for the next couple shows, you'll hear him whenever he wants to interject. And, of course, we will do that segment tomorrow to get you set up for the weekend of things beyond March Madness that you might want to take a look at. Raheel Ramzanali will join us today. He wasn't here with us last week, but he'll be here from 11:15 to about, I don't know, however long he wants to be on, talking about the things Raheel likes to talk about. I don't know if he wants to get into his vendetta against Houston Methodist that he took to Twitter for, but maybe he wants to voice his displeasure with them on the air. It's up to him. He hadn't sent me the topics yet. We will see. He's the host of CityCast, a podcast that kind of highlights what's going on in the city of Houston, so he'll join us in a little bit. Okay, so what happened last night? You had the Rockets go into Orlando and win kind of a pedestrian NBA game. There's nothing very special about it. It was back and forth. The two teams traded threes up until about 5.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, and then the Rockets went on, I think, a 12-0 run to create some distance between them and the Magic, and the game was over after that. The Magic never really were back in it. They tried to make a run late, very late in the fourth quarter, where the Rockets were kind of messing around with possessions, which is what they do. The Magic could not convert offensively, so the Rockets were never really threatened after that run. A couple threes by Dylan Brooks. Jalen Green hit one. Fred hit one. And Jalen went to the foul line for an away from the play foul. He knocked that down. So it was 68-65 after a Corey Joseph three. Speaking of Texas, a Corey Joseph three. And then it was a Jalen three-pointer, Dylan two-point shot. You got Jalen knocking down the free throws and Dylan Brooks hitting a three. And then the Fred Van Vliet three capped off a 12-0 run, and it was 80-65. The lead got as large as 86-70, and then the Rockets kind of held that big lead into the third, and as I said, fourth quarter, it got a little bit tighter, but after that, pretty much ball game over. Rockets win. They are hot right now. They have now won their eighth game in a row, and depending on if you're a pessimist or not, you might feel like, oh no, the next team they face hasn't won a game in almost a month. They play the Heat next. They've lost 9 in a row. Cade Cunningham. That game was going on pretty much at the same time. The Rockets were started earlier, but it was the ESPN game. Cade Cunningham knocked down a three, banked it off the backboard over Bam Adebayo. Pistons win 116-113. So the Heat now have lost 9 in a row. So that's the team the Rockets have next. A team that beat the Rockets earlier in the year, a team who has struggled since the Jimmy Butler trade, and a team desperate for a win. So depending on how you feel, some people are like, I wish they would have got that win out of the way. I hate going against a team who has a long losing streak. And you go into their building as they're desperate, because guess who's coming to town for them in a couple games? Do they really want to be on an 11-game winning losing streak when Jimmy Butler comes to town? Probably not. So they're going to be desperate to get a win, and the Rockets will face them and, you know, get a little revenge. We know that was the Amen Thompson-Tyler Hero scuffle game, the one that the Rockets lost. The takeaway from the game was Amen Thompson throwing Tyler Hero around like a rag doll. The actual result of the game was a Rockets loss. So they'll try to get some get back in their next game, but real hot right now. I don't care that much about their seeding. I know they are currently the second best team in the West, standalone. With the Nuggets losing last night to the Lakers, the Rockets are the number two. Tiebreakers, that doesn't matter right now. They are ahead of everyone except for the Thunder. That's like a nice accomplishment in the regular season. But when we start talking about playoffs, I care about matchups. Who will they face? And I wouldn't be opposed to the Rockets getting involved in some shenanigans if they have to lose a game or two to make sure they get the matchup that they deem favorable. I just don't know what that is. Tari Eason had a Q&A after the game, and the lack of experience for the Rockets was brought up. He made some joke about how they hated Jesus too. We still aren't quite sure what he means, drawing that comparison. But either way, I don't know that the opponent matters for a team that we have not seen do it before. How will they respond when teams are specifically game planning for what they do best? When the goal of the opponent night after night for a series is to take away what you do. Do they have counters? It's cool to have a counter in a regular season game where likely the preparation for you doesn't match what you would see in a series where either you win or you go home. This is what I'm looking forward to for the Rockets. It's been a really good regular season. You may even call it a great one considering where they've been, but what will Ime cook up and how will he respond to a series where everyone knows what you do best and what you don't do well? And they are putting things in place to exacerbate what you do poorly. That's what I'm looking for. He's a young coach. I know he's been around. He has an assistant. He coached the Celtics for 1 year, but he does not have a lot of playoff experience as a head coach himself. So that's part of a process. We're talking all about the players, but the coach did make a Eastern Conference Finals in his one season as a head coach, but that team was supremely talented and had been through the wars with Brad Stevens. This is an entirely different vibe for him. You're inexperienced from that at that position, and so is your team. So how will you kind of shepherd them through the process as they try to make their way? So we're getting there. They've now played, 70 games? They're only 12 games away. It's about a month before we're into real playoff basketball, a little less than that. So it's a good time to watch this team play. We'll see how they finish down the stretch as they are hot, hot, hot. 8 wins in a row. Speaking of guys who are inexperienced, didn't go too well for Rodney Terry. He's not known as a bad tournament coach. He usually wins a game at least, but it did not happen last night. I got to admit, I tuned away from that Texas game assuming they would win. You know, the score was, they're up like 7-8 in the second half, and I thought to myself, all right, I'm just going to turn on it to PS5. I got a dynasty to run. I'm going to stop watching this game. I don't care that much about Texas Xavier. And then I just checked the score. Oh, look at that. They lost. So Texas goes down. Of course, you look at the highlights later and see how it happens. Xavier, for that entire first half, looked like they're hanging on. Texas had played well. You know you're feeling good when ex-Coug Tremont Mark is doing the little put him in a spin cycle thing, because he had a nice bucket. The entire bench erupted, and Texas was vibing. It felt like they were going to get a win. Rodney Terry looked really confident. He said at halftime that they played in the best conference of basketball. I think he may even made it historically great, and said we won't see anything in that second half that we haven't seen before. And someone very funny and sarcastic said, he was right. He saw another loss. He was right. They have seen one of those before, another loss. So Texas goes down, and the reporting is that Rodney Terry is out. I don't think I've seen anywhere where that's official yet, but that's all the reporting, that Texas will be looking for a new head coach. Don't allow one March run to trick you. I don't know what the Texas administrators thought about Rodney Terry before he took over for Chris Beard and led them to an Elite Eight, and frankly, if they hadn't blown a big lead, would have been in the Final Four in Houston. Don't allow those four games they played and whatever you saw from the rest of the regular season when he took over trick you into thinking the guy is the guy if you didn't think that at any point before he got the job. And they were tricked, and thankfully for them, if you're a Texas fan, it only took two seasons to figure out that he's not the dude. You didn't give him a giant extension at some point because he may have had another miraculous tournament run. And I think that's what a lot of Texas people were worried about. Hey, could you, if you're not going to like make a Final Four, could you lose early? We don't want any gray area where it's like, oh, you know, Rodney Terry, well, he's a great tournament coach. People aren't going to remember this name, at least not, I would say not many people. Michael will be the test. Do you remember Steve Lavin?
Yes, I do remember Steve Lavin.
So maybe people will remember. Steve Lavin saved his job at UCLA so many times because
yes, he did.
He would put on a late run, and UCLA's like, huh, look at that. At least when we get to the tournament, you know, the regular season's miserable for us, but when we get to the tournament, Steve puts on big-time runs. And this was before conference tournaments were a thing in the Pac-12 or the Pac-10 at the time. So he would get into the tournament. He would put on a run, make a Sweet 16, maybe an Elite Eight, and the UCLA people are like, you know what? Steve, you did it again. We're going to keep you around. This time, Rodney Terry could not do it again, and he's likely to lose his job, maybe to a guy who he beat. The Sean Miller stuff is out there. I was thinking about that, and we'll go to break here. Can Sean Miller leave Xavier twice? He was flailing, and they brought him back. He goes, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the reputation. Build up. I'm out. I mean, it's college coaching. I wouldn't put anything past him. I don't know what he promised. I don't know what he promised Xavier when he came back, if he even promised him anything. But it's got to be a rough look if Xavier's like, man, that Arizona thing, you left in scandal. You needed a spot, a soft landing spot where people could forget about what happened there and build up your brand again. And we make the tournament and win a game, and you're just going to leave us again?
Xavier's like the rebound college in this scenario kind of thing.
I mean, they're the ex. They're the ex that you know you can always go back to. Hey.
I always have you, Xavier.
Yeah, I don't want to be gender specific, but hey, whatever. I don't love what you love. Gender specific, no. But Xavier's that person who's like, anytime I want, I can just go back to Xavier. I can text him or her anytime I want and be like, you know what? What's up? That's what they are. Xavier's like, what's up? Then they're immediately, no matter what time you say what's up, Xavier's like answering immediate. You know you're gonna see that bubble pit up on your phone. Xavier's right there waiting. That's what they are.
So did Sean Miller text him, hey, you up?
I think the problem for Xavier is they were waiting for the text. It wasn't like they were surprised. Oh, Sean might text us. Sean might once. I was gonna say something. Sean might. I said it anyway. Sean might be ready. Sean might be willing to come back to us, and Xavier's like ready to go. They went and got their hair done. They, you know, the Petty, Manny Petty, ready to go for Sean Miller. Sean Miller's like, Xavier looks pretty good at 2 a.m. But yes. Now that the light of day, he's like, you know what? Texas will look better.
You know what? I regret my decision.
Nah, it's fun. It's a short time, though. I'm not looking to be long-term with Xavier. Not again. I know what Xavier's about. It's a great spot. But there's always something out there better. And we'll see if Sean Miller is like, you know what, appreciate it. But you helped me get my glow up, and now I'm out. And maybe Texas is calling. It's nice in Austin during basketball season. You want to spend your life in Ohio?
Come on now.
Nah. Before we go, I do want to point out that the two religious schools won yesterday. So they're 3 out of 4 in the first four. St. Francis, actually 2 out of 4. St. Francis lost on a buzzer beater, pretty much. Xavier won, and then who's the other school? Now I'm blanking on the other school that I was thinking. Oh, Mount St. Mary's. They won yesterday too.
Yeah, there you go.
We still got the two religious schools out of the three who played in the first four. They advance, and there's a list where there's like about 16 of them: Catholic, Christian, Mormon, when you include BYU. So good run in Dayton for the religious schools. We'll see how that goes going forward. Okay, when we come back, we'll talk about the Texans. They made multiple moves yesterday, giving one of their current players more money and then bringing in another lineman who, if you go by what the numbers say, you should ask Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans why. Why this guy? Why another offensive lineman who did not play well last year? We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Texans bring in Cam Robinson, the former Jag and Viking. It's been a trend this offseason. Well, really, the tenure of the Texans under Caserio and D'Amico to bring in Vikings, ex-Vikings. And they also paid an ex-Viking more money yesterday. And now we can add the Jags to the list. And Cam Robinson fits the profile of ex-Jag and ex-Viking. Christian Kirk was the first. And he restructured as well. The Texans are very busy for a team who we didn't think could be, considering their cap restraints. But you restructure D'Amico Autry, you restructure Christian Kirk and others, and now you have more money to spend. So we'll start with Danielle Hunter. I don't really understand this one, mostly because Danielle Hunter didn't outplay his contract. What are you rewarding him for? I'm not saying he was bad. He was a good player. But I think he played up to the level of his contract. Now, the market has changed because guys like Max Crosby got more money and Myles Garrett, of course, got his giant deal. But you knew that that could happen, that the way the NFL works is somebody else will get a giant deal, and then that changed the market. In fact, the question was asked of Derek Stingley yesterday about how his contract set the market for corners, and he said, I don't really think about that. I just like playing football, which is an answer that gets all the football people all warm and toasty on the inside in their bellies. They feel all special. Oh, look at that. A guy who just cares about football. I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, everyone's like, yeah, look, he didn't care that much about money.
Relax. He loves ball.
Relax. No, that is the okay. thing. That yes, that's it. Like they get all it gets like, oh, that's the love of the game stuff that everyone feels good about. I love to hear him talk about that. I was like, you know what? Just cover people. I don't care. I really don't care. As long as he's great covering people, cool. I think Derek Stingley has made it pretty clear that he's really, really good at his job when he's healthy. And that, I think for me, that's all that really matters. He doesn't appear to be a detriment in the locker room either. So whether he cares about setting the market or not, just go ball out. And I think we're good. But back to Danielle Hunter. Who, when his extension kicks in, will become at this point, the second highest paid defensive end in football, sliding in between Garrett and Crosby. I understand it from a perspective of keeping your guy happy, but I am not a fan of paying at that point what would be a 32-year-old in the middle of that final year of the deal that type of money. Like, you knew that other guys were going to get money. So why the rush to give him a 12-point-whatever-million-dollar raise in this upcoming year and then give him the rich extension the next year? Did he not live up to the contract? He played to the level of it. That's fine. Can we be okay with accurately assessing what a guy is worth and then letting that play out? Does Danielle Hunter give off the vibe that he become a problem if you didn't just give him an extra $12 million, even though his play doesn't warrant that? And once again, this is not me saying he was bad. He is a great bookend with Will Anderson. But he ain't so great that I thought he should get an extra 12 and a half. But shout out to Team CTC, cash those checks. And if his agent could go get that done for him and the Texans were willing to do it, go get yourself an extra, at this point, like 12.5 this year and another 35.6. So that's good work by Danielle Hunter's agent. Maybe there's some cap ramifications that I don't know about that makes sense for the Texans. I would need that explained to me why we're rushing to give a defensive end who is going to be on the wrong side of 30 money so quickly after a year where he played to the level of his deal. And let him play to the level of his deal again. And by the way, he had more sacks in Minnesota last year, or at least now 2023. And they were like, you know what? We'd rather have the younger player and Jonathan Greenard. I think both teams made out pretty well. Is Jonathan Greenard getting a bigger deal? Did the Vikings go, you know what, Jonathan Greenard? We're not paying you up to your level. We're going to give you a lot more money. I don't know that the Vikings are doing that. And he's the younger player. You think you'd do that if someone was willing to rip up a deal. Maybe the Vikings are like, yeah, I think we accurately valued you. This is your money. And the Texans decided no. Julian wants to talk about this particular idea. What's up, Julian?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So my thing is, you're right. Hunter played up to his contract. But are we going to act like having Anderson on the other side didn't alleviate a lot of the extra attention that he gets? Whether it be in when he was in Minnesota, if Sauce gets 42 after next year, are the Texans then going to say, "Hey, Stingley, you know what, bruh? That's on us. We didn't give you enough, so we're going to tack on another year and we're going to give it to you for 50. That way, we can give you the 12." And then you'll still have the other money. Like, is this setting a precedent that they don't want? Especially, like you say, he's 32 years old. I understand the thought process. I don't understand the money. Have a good day, guys.
Appreciate it. Yeah, that's the unintended consequence of so quickly changing the deal. You set yourself up for maybe not Stingley so much, but the next guy to go, you know what? I love the deal when I got it, but I'm pretty good. And the guy over here just got a lot more money. You want to talk about this? And it's not the first time it would happen, and it'll continue to happen. Guys will want to renegotiate. And it happens across, well, mostly baseball. They'll pay a guy earlier than what he slotted to get to keep him happy. And, hey, we're going to give you more money and set some goodwill. So when it is free agency time, he feels pretty good about the team. Of course, it didn't work in Bregman's case because the Astros weren't willing to give him what he wanted when he did actually hit free agency. So there's some give and take there. But this is mostly about the age of Hunter and the fact that he did not overplay. Whether he would have an argument to get more money if he had overplayed it, that's up for the Texans to decide and say, no, hey, man, we agreed to this. We're paying you a lot of money, so what if the Browns and the Raiders want to give Max and Miles more? That's not what we're doing here. You're older than and they're about, well, Miles and Danielle Hunter are not that far apart in age, but I believe Danielle Hunter is older than Miles Garrett. You're older than him, so we're not doing, and oh, he's also better than you, although you can't say that to a player's face. Yeah, you may have that conversation with the agent, but you don't say that to the player.
That's a bad move. Yeah, that's a bad move.
It's not going to engender goodwill if you come out and say he's better than you. Although he is. It's the reason he's winning Defensive Player of the Year awards, and you're like, hey, look, he's a Pro Bowler.
It's good.
You're good, but great. He's better. That's why he got that deal he got. And stop asking us for something similar when you're not that guy. But the Texans are free-willing when it comes to handing out money, which is surprising considering what we thought they would be able to do. Okay, the Neil Hunter thing aside, at least that's a good player. You gave him more money than I think he should have gotten, but he's a good player. And mostly my idea is about the process. Whether you want to give the Neil Hunter $45 million a year or whatever, as long as you can make it work and doesn't kill your team because of cap ramifications and what you can spend on other players, do it. I just don't understand the process considering that he was good, not great, but you were like, yeah, just let's give Danielle all the money he wants. But whatever. The guy they gave money to that is less explainable, at least in my eyes, is Cam Robinson. He's not good. At least he wasn't last year. So that's three offensive linemen the Texans
And the other two, you know, stop gaps, fillers, you're just shaking things up. Not big deals. You traded for Ed Ingram. You brought in Laker Thomason. But those guys were top five in pressures given up. And Cam Robinson, according to the 33rd team, there are different measuring sticks on this, like PFF grades him as a better player. Not a great player, but a better player than PFF, than a 33rd team would, and the next gen stats would say. He gave the most pressure of any offensive lineman in football last year. 60-plus pressures. He ranked 560th out of 560 qualifying offensive linemen.
That doesn't seem good.
An astute point by Michael Carroll.
Thank
it does
you.
Not seem good. So why are you giving him... I don't know the final details on the deal, what it really is. Or agent can say he's getting this much guaranteed and... or this much money, and how much of it is guaranteed? What's a per play bonus, per snap bonus? I don't know that stuff, but the deal is in the double digits for a guy who was bad. I don't like it when other fans, the fans of the team that is leaving, and in this case, two teams, because he was a Jag and a Viking last year, they're like, oh, nice one, Texans. Nice one. Good one. I don't like that. I don't like that sentiment. Now, fans are fans, and they're not always right about things, but when two fan bases are like, ooh, can't believe they did that.
It's the uniting of it.
Yeah, it's when Jags and Viking fans can come together and shake hands and laugh at the Texans for making the decision. That's what I don't like. It's bothersome.
Feels like a bad sign.
Yes. And maybe the Texans are just relying on the power of friendship. You know, we got the new slash old offensive line coach. We got rid of the problem that was Laramie Tunsil. We'll bring in these below average to bad offensive linemen. We'll put them all together, and the sum of the parts will be better than the individuals, and we'll find a way to get it done. Because, you know, we always hear the old line is about a unit, and the unit has to perform. So even if there's a great player but the unit doesn't perform well, things don't work. You want the closed fist, not the open hand.
It turns out that, like, on a lot of edge rushers' weakness track, like traits and stuff like that, power of friendship is listed on there a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be surprised. Yeah.
Yes, Danielle Hunter didn't have a great day against the Chiefs. Well, he might have. I just don't remember. I'm using them as an example because of the power of friendship. I don't believe when Josh Allen Hines and Trevon Walker, who they actually might be trying want to trade, go up against the Texans, power friendship will be the thing, the ability the Texans have that will stop those guys when it comes to rushing a passer. We'll still call him our own, RJ Saunders, who used to work here, said, get ready to bury CJ in the H.
Dang.
He is a Jag fan. He works in Jacksonville. He's watched Cam Robinson, and that was his text into, or maybe his he wrote that in Twitch, on Twitch, to John and Lance. Get ready to bury CJ and the H. Three offensive linemen who weren't good last year are your main acquisitions. Of course, there is the draft coming up. They can make moves there to secure what right now is a leaky spot on this team. They've done a lot of work from the Kirk trade to the lineman acquisitions. I don't think they're better. From the time their season ended to now, they're not a better football team, which is saying something, consider how active they've been. And before we go, and Michael, get used to it, next couple of days will be way late, just how it is.
Oh, okay.
We're a media company now. We're not even just a radio station. We're a media company. We turn things into videos. We get people views. Yeah, I've heard that stuff. Don't worry about it.
It's a lot different than what I used to, yeah. used to do.
Yeah, we're a media company. Don't worry about it. Time matters less. So, the acquisition of Christian Kirk, I was thinking about it. Will anyone, I think Christian Kirk is a prime example, because I feel like he's a one-year rental, much like Stephon Diggs, of a guy 4 years from now, people are like, no, I swear, Christian Kirk was a Texan. And your buddy going, no, he wasn't. Christian Kirk never played for the Texans. He was a Jag and a Cardinal and whoever else he signs with. I got a real feeling he winds up a Saint at some point. That's just the vibes I get. I feel like this is going to be a thing that's not very remarkable, and he's going to become a guy very soon. Just how the trajectory of his career is going, where the next place he signs, it won't even be about what he is as a player. It'll be about his past and, you know, the requisite. For example, former Aggie and Texan Christian Kirk signs the Cowboys. He stays in the state of Texas, another weapon for Dak Prescott. Those type of tweets. Nothing about, you know, he caught 35 balls for 350 yards and wasn't very effective or whatever it might be. Only played 8 games, whatever it might be.
So you're saying his tenure is going to amount to a trivia question?
Yes. And his agent will try to write up flowery language for the newsbreaker to put in the tweet. Tell me when a guy on his third team who gets traded for a late third day pick and he's restructuring his deal to make it work for the team that he's new, that he's on now. Does that sound like the formula for something working out? Name all these guys on their third teams before 30 who turn into really big contributors. And he has to be right now. He is their second best receiver. I don't know, man. I like the Texans just moving Dex on a Titanic. Nah, they're not the Titanic. That's rough. They're moving decks on the ship. Just moving them around. Oh, excuse me, moving chairs on the ship. Just moving them around. You know that game they play, Three Card Monty?
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
That game, just moving the cards around.
Just moving it around.
Yeah, just moving stuff around, seeing if it works out, particularly on the offensive line. I don't know, man. Hopefully the draft yields better results than Ed Ingram, Cam Robinson, and Lakin Tomlinson. Okay, when we come back, we'll do our camp update. And Michael, here's the prompt for you.
Okay.
The camp update is where we talk about what's happening in Astros camp. And Sean, his directive for me is, it always is, and we only have, well, he's done because camp ends, I think, tomorrow. They'll be back for the Space Cowboys games coming up here. To pick music that represents baseball to you. It could be a theme from like the MLB on Fox baseball broadcast. It could be This Week in Baseball, which is an old show, weekly baseball show. It could be Put Me in Coach, I'm Ready to Play. It could be anything except the seventh inning stretch.
Oh,
except
anything. No. Okay.
Except any of that stuff. It has to be an actual song that someone might want to listen to or a theme song.
Gotcha. Okay.
Maybe you watched the Bad News Bears yesterday and you remember a song from that. I don't know what it'll be. It's unlikely that that's going to be the case, but you pick. We will do that when we come back. If you want to get in on the show, you can. 713-780-3776. Me and Michael here till noon. Rahul Ramzanali will join us at 11:15. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Rahil will join us. Rahil Ramzanali, the host of CityCast. He'll get you situated on what's going on in the city of Houston. Our best baseball team. Let's be clear. Our best team, best baseball team is not really the point. We only have really the one, unless you count college baseball. Our best pro team is in West Palm. The franchise's best player is in a position he's unfamiliar with. Jose Altuve had another mishap. He dropped another fly ball. That's two drops of fly balls. There's a misplay on the fly ball when he tried to go back on it, and then there is a throwing error. So that's four, what you would say, relatively routine plays he has not made as of yet, or he could not make as a left fielder. And it led to a rant by Lance Zierlein that you can find up on our socials. It'll be the video of the day on ESPN Houston. It's on Instagram. It's on Twitter. Him talking about what the Astros are doing to Jose Altuve, and he's not thrilled with it. But let's hear the sound. Now, this is just the boom mic, whatever you want to call it. This is just the directional mic pointed at the field, and here's the sound of Altuve. Oh, Michael's still working on it. I set him up poorly for that because he also has to pick a song. So when Michael, when you're ready with the sound, and really this is just about listening to the anticipation of the play because everyone's like, oh. Altuve's in left. Let's see if he makes a play. And then the reaction when the play's not made. A lot of Mets fans there, if I'm going by the reaction to the drop. So we'll get to that. And then we'll, Keith, I see you'll get to you too here at some point as you want to talk some March Madness. So it's been rough. We'll hear from Espada here as well. He talked about the common thread that you can look at and point to why these misplays are happening. On the other side, you've got Cam Smith, who he says is really putting himself in a good position. And it's making the Astros think about it. Whether that's just, hey, yeah, I got to talk about Cam Smith. I'm not going to give away anything. Or there's some real energy behind him possibly making the opening day roster. That's yet to be seen. We got a couple of days as the Astros still have time to make that decision. So a guy we know is going to be there is Jose Altuve. Where he's going to play, the word is from camp that expect him to play most of his games in left field. What he's done so far doesn't elicit much confidence because these are just plays you got to make. Do we have it?
I am bringing up my email. There's so many logins.
Okay. So you know what? We'll get to Keith. We'll wait on that. We'll do that to start hour two of the show. We'll have all the things that happened in spring training yesterday and also some bad news regarding Luis Garcia as he's trying to make his way back. We had a good update with Lance McCullers. The update on Luis Garcia, not so great. Let's get to Keith. He wants to talk some March Madness. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale, thanks for having me on. Brackets are due in 20 minutes. With the report that Will Wade is taking the NC State job, are you picking the 12-seed McNeese to upset Clemson, or is that distraction too big for the 12-5 upset that happens every year? You're rolling with Clemson or McNeese with the Will Wade to NC State news?
Yeah, if you missed it, Will Wade, the former LSU coach who had to take a step back because of a show cause, because of improperly recruiting in Baton Rouge, is now back in a power conference. He is the new coach at NC State. He takes over for Kevin Keats, who at about this time last year was about to go on a run to make a Final Four. NC State wasn't tricked. They didn't give him a big extension, and he did not have a good season this year, so they were in a position to coach, or at least to snag Will Wade. Can they make a run? I don't know how the McNeese State players will react to their coach saying, I want to hang around for this run, but I'm out. I don't know what type of love they feel for him, what the vibe is. Because some guys are like, we get it. Good opportunity for your family. Coach is great here. Go ahead and take that job, and we're going to be rooting for you. Others are like, man, he betrayed us. I don't know their relationship. In fact, I would make a prediction, but mostly anything I say will be based off of my Bracket Madness stuff. I don't remember it. And he mentions it's time to fill out those brackets, and it is. You still got a couple minutes to go to ESPN 975 and fill out your bracket for Bracket Madness. And it's not just about playing against us. You get a chance to win stuff. This is brought to you by Golden Nugget Lake Charles, East River 9, and the Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It's that time of the year. Test your knowledge and see if you can beat us or the many people who aren't the people who work at ESPN 975 who are part of the Bracket Challenge. So maybe you want something from Two Creeks Crossing Resort, Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, Gooder Sunglasses, Nico Nico's, True Lux, and more. That's all there for you. Beat us, beat your competitors, and you win a prize. Thanks to all our sponsors. So you can go to ESPN975.com. Under the promotions tab, you can fill out the bracket challenge. So I did that last night, and I got to admit, the care for the bracket overall was reflected by my choices. I just auto-picked most of them, and then I went in and go, I don't like that one. I flipped that one. I don't like that one. I'll change that one. But I would say most of the picks on my bracket are the computer deciding who they thought would win. Then I just made some adjustments to see. And if you lose to me, you didn't really lose to me. You lost to some algorithm that decided this should go this way. So don't feel bad. And if you beat me, you also didn't beat me. You beat an algorithm. That's how I cover myself. Whether I look dumb or not on those brackets, it wasn't me. So there it is. But back to that question. I'm not taking the team who lost their head coach. I'll take the team. I won't take the lower seed who lost their head coach. Although Will Wade does do a good job coaching. He's a good coach. Beyond the stuff that led to him losing his LSU job, he wins. He won at McNeese State, and that's why he's getting the job at NC State. He's got another chance. And it's a program that's been desperate for for consistency. And NC State never will be Duke or North Carolina. But that school doesn't think they should be a team that misses the tournament as often as they do. As great as that Final Four run for them was last year, they don't like where they had to start to get there. Being an 11 and making the Final Four is cool. DJ Burns, great story. But I think the people there believe they should be at least top half of the ACC, which gives you a shot to not be a team who's waiting on Selection Sunday, hoping and praying that you make it. And in their case, it wasn't even that. They had to win the ACC tournament to make it in as an auto bid team. So they're looking for a new way, and they hope that Will Wade is the guy. All right, we'll go to break here. Try to stay on time. We'll come back with our camp update. We'll hear all that happened yesterday. Some good, some bad, and an injury update on Luis Garcia. We will be back.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN 97.5.